Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the very rainy District of Columbia.
Yes.
Points north, south, east, and west. Just a gross couple days, man. Cameron, get us some good weather, please. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. We're about 30 miles west of the
District of
Columbia.
He wish he had control over all that.
he'd never get one wrong, I bet. I think me and B are out in Ashburn. Commander's getting back in business.
Rainburn.
Yo, Rainburn, yeah, for sure. The bye is over, man. It's New Orleans week. We got plenty to discuss. Best I could tell, if somebody – listen, we got Jeff Nowak on at 10:30. Maybe he'll have the answer. I don't know who the hell the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints is.
I don't think he knows. Probably not yet either. But, you know, we'll find out. But the whole thing is, as I've stated many times, Commanders, handle your business.
Sure.
You win the game.
Obviously, some really great news for the Nats last night, getting the first overall pick. We're going to talk to Andrew Golden at noon. I love that they're going to add another potentially very elite prospect, but I'd love it more if they would ever spend some money. I don't think they're going to. Everybody else can lie to themselves and believe, but, like, you're better off believing it's Santa Claus at this point. Speaking of Santa Claus, it depends who you ask. I can't definitively tell you there's not. Speaking of Santa Claus, you see that picture I posted of Jaden Daniels going to Children's Hospital?
No.
Well, you should have. A lot of football players go visit kids during the holidays.
I saw a lot of kids. A lot of them went there.
A lot of guys.
Yeah,
did.
Yeah, yeah.
Jaden's the star quarterback. Jaden goes, and he dressed up like Santa.
Good stuff.
I love that stuff. It's so simple, but it's
– I can tell you this. You go to Children's Hospital thinking you're going to help those kids. When you leave, they've helped you.
Right.
Because you find out the stuff we deal with is nothing.
Yeah.
And they go through it like warriors, man.
Totally, man. So. It's really remarkable. I don't know. It's an afternoon. It's an evening of somebody's time. But I think that is the real stuff, the good stuff that matters. Lot to discuss from last night, kind of getting into the day, into the week. Dan Quinn's going to talk to the media probably 12:30. Roughly 12:30. Also, we're having the debut. Landfill, you got to confirm this because I hope it's not just you doing weird voices. Are we debuting the voice messages today?
Yes.
All right. So if you you go to the Odyssey app, I know a lot of folks listen to us via the Odyssey app.
Mm-hmm.
If you click on 106.7, there's a little microphone there where you can leave voicemails for us. And we're gonna play some today. I think that's gonna be awesome, especially for Bleep You Thursday, Ask B Mitch Anything. Like, you can just leave a voicemail whenever you want, so you don't necessarily — a lot of people listen to the show on the podcast later, or however you access the content, you have a way to interact with us on your own time, which I think has a lot of value.
Mm-hmm.
Now, B Mitch, I think you know this about me. I'm generally fairly apolitical. I just want simple things in life. I think a lot of times we make stuff far too complicated. But there is a cause that I have been behind for some time that I think deserves a conversation. And I don't want to make this a political program. It's not what I do. But there is something I think we need to discuss.
What's that?
I got word this morning from a source, per sources, B. We might finally be getting beer and wine in Maryland grocery stores.
Hey, that's not political. that's fine. That's fun because you should have been having it. Hell, I came from Louisiana. You get beer and wine everywhere.
You can get liquor and a drive-thru.
Look, man, I took guys down there. We pull up to a 7-Eleven, and we get everything. Lottery tickets, food, drink, and gas.
Yeah, man. Yo, I like the people that own the little beer stores, I think you could keep owning the beer store. Like, I'm not trying to knock anybody out, but you go to other places, they got little beer stores, but they also just have beer at the grocery store.
Yeah, totally. You
know, dude, most of the time when I have like a list of groceries to go get, I leave my home in Bethesda. I drive down Massachusetts Avenue, make a left on Van Ness, and I go to the Wegmans in D.C. You know why I do that? Because I can get cold cuts. I can get yogurt pouches for my daughters. I can get a bottle of Tito's. I can get wine. I can get Surfsides. I can get steak.
And
I can
get beer.
Potatoes. Yeah, dude.
But the whole thing about it is like, light. Sometimes you
just make it easy.
Sometimes you watch what politicians do and you just say, how stupid can you be? You want people to just leave your state and go somewhere else and get it and pay all the taxes over there and don't pay them in your state. You know what I mean? That's just a simple way of doing it. If I have it, if you can get it, I want you to be able to get it from me. I don't want you to have to go somewhere else to get it.
Bro, and like, I don't know. The people that...
Yeah, like this. Country clubs, okay?
Sure.
If your country club have a clubhouse that has a sucky, like, little bar area and restaurant where your food is horrible, and people go play golf at your place and leave and go eat somewhere else,
right?
You're losing money, right?
That's your fault.
But if you make sure that everything is great at your country club, they get through with golf, and 4 hours later, they're still there. You're like, every time I go play golf, I get asked how long it's going to be. I say, oh, about 6-7 hours. Then it takes that long? I say, nah, it's going to be about 4 hours of golf, but 3 hours of hanging out. You know, got to decompress. Break down all of the bets.
Yeah,
dude. And have some drinks. Maybe, and if the food is good, I'm going to eat. Yeah. You know, you don't even have to cook.
Yeah.
But the ultimate thing is you got to make sure that the people that you are supporting can get it all from you, not from everywhere else.
That
works in every aspect of life. Think about that.
Totally, dude. So Governor Moore has come out and said he supports getting beer and wine in the grocery
store. You might have been the person that pushed that, man, because you sure told him from the first day. Soon as he came on, you were like, can I say one thing? Can we get some beer and wine in the grocery store? We got to work on that.
This is my cause, B. Like someday I'm going to die, right?
It's going to be the J.P. Finley Law.
And maybe somebody will write an obituary about me. I want it in there that this dude fought his whole life to get beer and wine in the damn Maryland grocery store. We'll see, man.
We will see.
Let's hope it happens, dude. I'm going to ask Landfill on this. Maybe we can come up with a time for this. Shout out to Jeff. He's going to get food. He decided to text us that.
But he's smart because he knows you're going to call him out and act like he's not there.
I'm just saying shout out to him.
Yeah, he's getting smart these days. About time.
Landini, I need you figure out when we should do this. We got Nowak coming up at 10:30, Greenberg coming on at 11, Andrew Golden at noon. So we got a busy day. DQ's going to talk. We haven't heard from DQ. I was thinking about this driving over here. We need a Noah Brown update. And maybe the update is nothing. But remember, he left that game.
It's been so long, John.
I know.
I forgot.
I know. But these are the things. This is how my dumb brain is wired. It's burgundy and gold football and beer and wine and Maryland grocery stores. But I know that Landfill enjoys when I do dumb stuff. And, boy, do I got a story for you, Landini.
Yeah, I've been waiting on this one.
Now, before we get to that, I think I have a way, Brian, for us to beat Vegas.
You don't have a way to do that, Jay.
I think I might.
Jay. You know how many super professional gamblers have tried that and still lose?
B, it just might be my month, dog. I'm getting beer and wine in Maryland grocery stores. I got a way to beat Vegas. I'm telling you,
I think you need to just rest on your laurels right now. Be happy with the beer and wine.
All right. Landfill, I think I got a way to beat Vegas. You with me?
Sure.
Landfill, like, you out your damn
okay.
mind.
Landfill's with me. Here's what I want to do. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. Not right now. Last night, my high school buddies and I go out to dinner basically once a year. And we try to do it around Christmas time. And we all make fun of each other. And it's great. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Probably have one too many cocktails. I did have...
Oh, you just had one martini, though.
I had one martini.
Yeah, but you had many cocktails.
I had one martini, though.
Yeah.
That's the rule. If you're watching on the stream, one martini. Two is too many. So
the other drinks with liquor don't matter.
Listen, I owe people a beer, and I always have one martini.
But when you owe a beer every day you say it, that turns into multiple beers.
So I had a paddle match yesterday at 5:30. Dinner's at 7:30. So I didn't have my phone. It took us a full hour to play a paddle match, and we lost in a tiebreaker, which sucked. I scored the game-losing point, which really sucked. But so I just didn't have my phone, and then I had to hustle, take a shower, drop my car off, get an Uber. Like, I just really didn't pay attention to my phone, right? So I get in the Uber. Say I get in the Uber at, like, you know me. I don't always leave a lot of time for the in-between parts.
Yeah, I know.
Dinner's at 7:30, and I get in the Uber at, like,
7:25.
7:15.
Probably 7:20.
Now, granted, it was the Cap Grill at Chevy Chase, so it was right by my house.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I get in the Uber about 7:15, and I finally look at my phone, and it's like, brush. Like, my phone had a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed a few calls from the Capitol Grill, where we had a table for 11 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a big text thread with all my high school buddies, and one of them is buddies with the guy at Cap Grill. And shout out to Abdul, who texted my boy Celeste. He's like, yo, where are you guys? And Celeste's like, what do you mean? He's like, we've got your table, everything's set up, nobody's here. And Celeste is like, well, what time's the reservation? He said, 6 o'clock. And
who made these reservations?
I'll give you one guess.
You.
Yes.
And you thought it was at 7:30?
Yes. So
how in the hell you get an hour and a, and you have a match at 5:30?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you write anything down?
No, I don't.
You might need to. It's a search thing on here on this phone. Let me go to it for you. Right here. It's called Notes. Just put some stuff in there.
Yeah, dude. I should do it. I should.
It works for me.
So I call them at 7:15, and at this point, I think they were just relieved that we didn't no-show them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they set a table for us. They held I sincerely want to thank Abdul, Bazad, and Evan. They did a fantastic job. If you need a great dinner, go to Capitol Grill and Chevy Chase. They'll really take care of you.
Abdul and Evan, I'm gonna give y'all a backup number because the dude is still different.
The food is fantastic. But here's the irony. I don't know how to say
it. I'm back to this again. You got 7:30 from 6 o'clock, and you try to play a match at 5:30.
The 6 o'clock, I don't know where that came from. I never, in my brain, now obviously.
Well, obviously somebody booked it named J.P. Finley.
Yeah, and I went back and looked at the emails that I said, sure, that looks great. It says 6 o'clock on it. But in my head, it was always 7:30. So, bro, we get there, and they were very cool. They were apologetic to me, and I was like, no, man, I effed this up. I'm apologizing to you. I'm very sorry.
Mm-hmm. bleeped it up.
I also was the first person there, which I trolled my buddies. I sent a picture. I was like, yo, I'm here. Where is everybody? At 7:27.
Well, you were late by an hour and 20-something minutes.
A couple, yeah. So we get there, and they're like, yo, here's the situation. We had a private room for you. But at 6:45, after you guys were 45 minutes late, like, I got a packed restaurant here. I got to start seating people. I was like, totally understand. I can't believe you waited that long. Again, this is all my fault. I'm really sorry. And they're like, yo, it's going to he's like, here's what I can do. So we had a group of 11. He's like, I can get you a table of 5 and a table of 6. And I was like, we'd really like to all sit together. And he's like, all right, I'm going to put a table together. I'm just going to string a bunch of skinny little two tops together. And it's going to be a little tight, but you guys can make it work. And I'm like, okay, but we got some big fellas coming to this dinner.
You should get whatever you get at this point.
I said, we'll take what we can get. But in my head, I kind of know what this scene is going to be. This is 11 high school buddies that haven't seen each other.
Just sit in the bar area.
So they said, and then they were very cool. They were like, listen, if you guys could be a little patient with us, we'll make something work. Can you sit down here, have a drink? So I was like, yeah, no problem. So we are in the bar area, and the bar area is awesome, but not that big.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you go to these steakhouses, like.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah. It's not necessarily rowdy, right? People are talking, having fun, but it's like a little classier or whatever. The 11 of us immediately just.
Well, when they saw you walk in late, flustered, they should have known classy was thrown out the door.
Yo, so we have a drink, and it's great, and then they seat us in this tiny, they created a table for us, which I sincerely appreciate. And we sit down and we start talking. And it's a bunch of these dudes, you know. My boy Charlie's this giant meathead from the Eastern Shore. Mm-hmm. You know my boy Truck. Like, there's some.
Yeah, Truck has taken the whole table.
There's some bigger fellas here. and we're trying to be. We're trying to keep it together because we are in the middle of a lot of folks having
Stop,
dinners.
Man. Y'all not trying.
And after like 10 minutes, they're like, yo, we're going to get a private room for you guys.
they're like, okay, we're going to see if this works. As your friends walk in, they're already contemplating, we're going to have to move them.
Yeah. I think when they just saw us at the bar before we even got upstairs, they're like, we got to figure something out.
See, I'm kind of looking forward to something like that probably Friday.
I'm not going to be there.
I'm going to see Gil. I'm going to see Maniac.
Yo, you're going to need a private room.
But no, Maniac is normally cool. Gil is cool. Gil
will be chill. Actually, Gil just, you're probably the loudest out of those dudes.
Ooh, me?
You, yeah.
No. When I'm out in public, I'm always calm and cool and collected.
So in New Orleans, I'm always calm, cool, and collected.
No, it's not true.
Bro, I am specifically, a lot of people keep asking me, like, why aren't you going Friday? But to try to, I know what happens in New Orleans. I'm going Saturday. Yo, Stallion's dumbass. I guess Grant and them are all going down there, which is great. And Stallion's like, you guys think you'll go out Saturday in New Orleans?
Nah. Nah, we're not. We're staying in the house, and we're going to have tea and crumpets.
Like, tell me you've
We're going to the library.
Tell me you've never been to New Orleans without telling me you've never been to New Orleans if you ask if you think you're going to go out.
Yeah.
You don't go out. Like, everything is out.
Basically, New Orleans comes to you. Whatever you walk into, yeah. You can get into something.
Right.
You know, it's not like, you know, some places they stop serving at a certain time. They don't serve here. They serve everywhere.
Yeah, remember
all
you,
the time.
Remember you said you had trouble, like, finding a place to eat in Detroit after the draft or whatever?
I didn't have no trouble in New Orleans.
Yo, there's never trouble.
I can always go to Deeny's right there.
Right.
Next to the, was the Marriott right there? Yep. No, the Hyatt. The Hyatt next to the Hyatt. You can go right outside the side, walk right into Deeny's. They can serve crawfish at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, man. You can get whatever you need anywhere. Exciting day for me. Wednesday nights, I always have all ears for NBC4. I don't know if I told you this, B. It's been a digital show, and it's been awesome, and we've gotten a ton of great feedback on the digital platforms. This is the first week it's on air, Saturday night on NBC4. So that's just something cool that I'm really looking forward to. We got a packed show. We're all on the hunt. We're all in this together, trying to figure out who's going to play quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm. Generally, these types of mysteries don't exist in the NFL world. These are best saved for more exotic treasure hunting type missions. But we're going to try to figure it out. Joining the program next is Jeff Nowak. Maybe he has the answers. One dude that does have the answers, if you are looking to buy or sell a home and you understand how important that financial transaction is for your life, that dude with the answers is John Leahy.
That is definitely John Leahy. And John and Catherine Newt found out that he had the answer when they were retiring and preparing to move to upstate New York. The one thing complicating matters was the fact that they were afraid they wouldn't be able to sell their Silver Spring home while attempting to buy their next one. Leave it to John Leahy and the Fine Living Group to save the day. And not only did they get it sold in just 13 days, they were also able to sell it for $730,000, which was $5,000 over the asking price. Looking for your own stress-free transactions? How about a guaranteed offer on your home? Check out those details and more at johnsellsdmv.com. That's John, J-O-N, without the H. Go, John offers you flexible fees, customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
John's got the guaranteed sale program. He's got more than 10,000 buyers ready to buy. Listen, we can give you 100 reasons why the money works with John, but what's different than that is he understands that life gets complicated. Sometimes you're selling a house because you got a divorce or there's a death in the family or your job decided you got to relocate. Talk to John. He could figure these things out for you, making you the most money, yeah, but also just alleviating stress. He could do this in a stress-free process, which is a huge, huge part of this, especially when it's your personal life. Plus, if you need to make some repairs, a little bit of upgrades on the home, talk to John. He'll front you the money to get the repairs done, and then you settle up with him at closing. That's a huge advantage to drive the sale price of your home way up. Call John today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing. All right, B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan.
Yeah.
Very, very rainy in the DMV. I'll confess, I do not know what the weather is like down on the bayou.
We're going to find out.
In Louisiana. But more, perhaps more importantly, I don't know who the hell is going to play quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. It's Wednesday, and they're going to play on Sunday. Helping us to try to figure this out is Jeff Nowak. He's the Saints sideline reporter at WWLA. You can follow him at Jeff_Nowak, N-O-W-A-K. Jeff, thanks for making some time for us, man. How you doing?
For sure. I'm doing good. I can tell you it's warmer here than it was in New York over the weekend, but it has dipped down to like the 50s, which for us is cold. We're weak, and our blood is thin. And that
you
is
you got all that booze in the blood, man.
You know what, though, Jeff? I grew up down there. What I tell people is they always complain about humidity when it's hot.
Yeah.
When it's cold, that humidity also affects you because it's like that cutting type cold, that brutal stuff.
Well, you know, the issue I have is like these houses are not built to keep heat in. They're built to let heat out. So when you actually have to turn on the heat, it doesn't actually do the job. All the houses are elevated. All the wind just comes in from the floorboards, and your feet are cold, and when your feet are cold, you're cold. But I'm not going to complain too much because I grew up in Connecticut originally, so 50 degrees in December is kind of – that would be a heat wave.
Hey, Tep, go to Pat O'Brien's and get your hurricane. You're warm up.
They can figure that stuff out to warm you up down there. Well, actually, per our weather insider, Jim Mullins, it's warmer right now in D.C. than it is in New Orleans.
Wow. Okay.
That's kind of interesting, right?
Will it be like that this weekend? Should I bring the clubs or not?
Yeah, it's a good question. all right, Jeff. I don't know if you have this answer, but I'm going to ask it fairly simply. Who is the Saints' starting quarterback on Sunday?
Right now, it's probably nobody.
Wildcat.
It's interesting because Ian Rappaport put out a tweet on Monday morning saying, "Hey, Derek Carr's dealing with a fractured left hand. He's probably done for the year." The Saints kind of pushed back on that. And I think it really comes down to Derek Carr, if he's able to play, is going to push to play. That's just the type of player he is. He's not going to say, "Hey, you know, I might injure it worse, so I'm not going to go out there." It's going to be on the medical staff. And, you know, Mickey Loomis was on WWL last night, and he said it's not really about whether he can play, it's whether he should play. So that's what they're going to have to figure out over the next few days. He's also in the concussion protocol, which I think complicates this further because they're not really going to know whether he can play. Yes, Derek Carr is. Yeah. They're not really going to know whether he can play until he gets out there at practice and they could kind of test out, like, hey, okay, can he even take a snap under center? Would you have to have him completely in the shotgun if he did play? How is that going to work? If he goes down and lands on that hand, is it going to make it worse? So these are all questions he's got to answer. But they're going to have to make a determination one way or the other on who's going to be the guy that starts if he can't go, and that's going to come down to Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener. When Derek got hurt earlier in the year, it was Spencer Rattler who got the start. Didn't play particularly well. He was in a rough situation. He had a lot of offensive linemen out. You were facing the Broncos and the Chargers in two of those games, two really good defenses. And he played like a rookie. He got sacked 14 times. In Derek Carr's 9 games, he's only been sacked 10 times. So you can kind of put some perspective on, hey, you put a rookie back there behind a kind of shoddy offensive line, it's not going to go well. I would guess Jake Haener is the guy this week. I think, you know, Darren Rizzi is the head coach now. It was Dennis Allen at that point. I think DA was kind of making that decision, trying to save his job a little bit because there's a lot of excitement around Spencer Rattler and he wanted to throw him in there. I would guess it's Jake Haener if Derek Carr can't go. They kept him around for a reason. They like him. I think there's a bit higher of a baseline with him. The ceiling might not be as high, but he's a little calmer back there. He runs the offense better. He looks a lot more like Derek Carr. He operates more like Derek Carr. So I think you could probably do a lot of the same things with him. But regardless, if you're throwing one of those young guys back there, it doesn't improve your chances. Let's put it that way.
What would you say is Haener's strength?
He gets the ball out of his hand quickly. And I think for the Saints this year, that's important. You know, he's pretty accurate. He processes quickly. When he went in there against, if you want to look at a Jake Haener game where you can kind of get an idea, you can go back and watch the Chargers game. Spencer was getting eaten alive by that behind the offensive line. He'd been sacked 4 or 5 times. They benched him, put Jake Haener in. And that was the big difference is he gets the ball out of his hand into the hands of the playmakers and lets them go make a play. Whereas a lot of the Spencer Rattler offense just died on the vine because they couldn't protect him long enough and he just had to eat it. Like, he gets sacked 14 times in three games. It's not about the offensive line. It's about the quarterback. And so that's what I would say about Jake, is he processes quickly, he gets the ball out of his hands, and he keeps you in front of the chains more often than not. You're not in negative game script situations as much. But the top-end talent, it probably isn't there. I would compare him not that dissimilarly to a Drew Lock, the guy we saw the Saints play last week, in terms of what he's able to do. And it's not a sexy comparison, but I think Drew Lock's actually been playing pretty decently for the Giants over the last few weeks. And so as a backup quarterback, like, I think that's how I would describe Jake Haener, is he's probably a career backup, but a high-level backup. So that's what I would say for him.
All right. We're talking with Jeff Nowak here. You can follow him at Jeff_Nowak. Check out Inside Black and Gold. WWLA down in New Orleans. Covers the Saints. Saints sideline reporter for the radio. Jeff, I'm kind of fascinated. What would you say is the percentage chance that Derek Carr plays?
Yeah, it's tough to say right now. It's a fracture to his non-throwing hand. So I think the question is going to come, and we don't have this information, but it's going to be, okay, where is that fracture exactly, and how significant is it? If it's up toward the top of your hand, if it's more dealing with the fingers, you can brace it up, you can tape it, you can put some padding on it. I think you can go out there. I'd probably put it at like 60 to 70%, and it's really a question of whether he clears the concussion protocol. If it's a fracture down toward the wrist, where you have a lot more kind of working parts, you can imagine that's a lot easier to injure. I would put it down toward 20%, but that's just not information that we have right now. And it'll be a question. And we don't know when he's going to be able to get on the field. How significant is this concussion? If he can't get out to practice at all, then it's a moot point. So I think you have to go into Wednesday saying, okay, figure out the quarterback behind him. And then maybe by Friday, if he's able to get out there, that changes. But I'd sit somewhere around 30 to 40% right now. And I'm really thinking about, okay, is it Jake or Spencer? Darren Rizzi said on Monday that they're not ruling out making it a competition and just having those guys go out there and split the reps and see who looks better, which is not really what you want to hear in week 15 of the season.
Is this high school? Like, what the hell is going on here?
He's trying to figure it out.
Yeah, clearly.
He wasn't the head coach for the first the 9 weeks, so he wasn't here during this entire evaluation process. So I think for him, it's like, okay, I kind of want to – they've been doing that at wide receiver. They've been kind of making it a competition because all these guys have been hurt, and so they've been turning to some young guys who have been playing better. And I think that's kind of where he's at. He wants people to – he wants the idea to be, okay, who's the best option and who's playing the best, because that's who we're going to pick. He doesn't want it to look like a favorites thing. He wants people to be motivated. And as an interim coach, I think that's all you can hope for, is you got someone who's out there who's motivated and people are playing motivated behind him.
So to that point, we'll get past the quarterback situation. what is it the Saints are doing well? Because they just won a game on the road. The Giants are god-awful. But B asked you about Haener's strengths. What are just New Orleans' strengths in general?
Yeah, it's tough because it kind of goes around to, like, okay, who's healthy right now? Going into that game, I thought, hey, the offensive line is healthy for the first time since week three. First time you had all five starters out there since the Eagles game in week three. And, you know, they didn't play particularly well. And I'd like to think that was a rust thing. You hadn't gotten those guys out there with a lot of practice reps. They should all be out there for a full week of practice reps this week. So I think that group, that offensive line group, is probably their strength when it's healthy. And so I'd like to think, again, that was kind of an aberration and there's a lot of rust involved. And if they get some continuity, they'll be able to play well. And so that's why, if you're looking at a backup quarterback, okay, why can this stretch go a little better than the stretch from weeks 6 through 8, rather? It's the offensive line and you know, a rookie left tackle who should be, you know, at this point in the season, you're not really a rookie anymore. You're kind of, you know, you're just a guy. Trevor Penning at right tackle, who has played pretty well, given granted the expectations for him coming into the season. Eric McCoy is one of the better centers in the NFL. Cesar Ruiz is a quality starting right guard, and Lucas Patrick's a quality starting left guard. So that's when they're playing well, they're blocking up in the run game, and they're getting Alvin Kamara the ball out on the edges, and they're allowing him to go. The problem is they've been getting too many negative plays. They got, I think they got 11 tackles for loss in that game, not including the sacks. And so if you add the sacks into that, 20% of their offensive plays went backwards. And that's not even including the plays that went for 0 yards. So you're talking about, you know, a third or a one-fifth of all of your offensive plays literally got you negative yardage. And that's not great. But, you know, when they're playing well, they're staying ahead of the sticks. They're running the ball. They're controlling the time of possession. And, you know, that's really what they did against the Falcons in Week 10 is what they did in Week 11 against the Browns. Is they, you know, they were able to run the ball. They were able to move the ball. What they haven't done well is stop the run, which is what they did actually successfully do against the Giants, at least in terms of the running backs. Devin Singletary, Tyrone Tracy averaged 2.9 yards a carry, I think 53 yards total on something like 19 carries. But Drew Locke led the game in rushing. He had 59 yards on 5 carries. So if you're looking at this game, you're saying what's going to tear the Saints apart, it's going to be, I haven't seen them successfully defend a mobile quarterback in about 3 years. Like whether it's Jalen Hurts, whether it's Lamar Jackson, whether Kyler Murray, I can't name a single quarterback who could actually run that did not have a great game against the Saints. So, you know, whether it's Brian Robinson or Jaden Daniels, I think they're going to have to sell out to stop one or the other. I don't see them doing both well. So it's just been a rough season for the Saints. But it's funny because you look around, it's like it's so difficult to be the Giants. Right? Like, I don't think this is a good Saints team, but they're still, you know, head and shoulders better than the Giants, even in a game that was close at the end. So it's like, it's kind of amazing to watch some teams like flail around year after year after year. Because I see the Saints team as kind of a flailing group. They've won 5 games somehow. So yeah. It's such a weird league.
Yeah, it is. Because I tell you, at the beginning of the year, all my friends were asking questions about, you know, could it be the Saints in the Super Bowl? Because it's in New Orleans, and I'm like, man, look, it's a long season. Chill out.
Yeah.
They started off on fire.
Well, that they probably were pretty confident after Week 2.
Yes, they were.
They were dropping 50 on everyone.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Jeff, thank you. Yo, how's our guy Chase Young been?
Chase Young's been solid. You know, I'm a little softer on Chase Young's season than some folks have been. I think they expected him to show up and get, like, 20 sacks and, you know, push Strahan's record or whatever. But, you know, he's been pretty consistent, in my opinion. He's been healthy. He's been available. That's what I was hoping to see. You know, you look around the league, sacks have been down. I think teams have just gotten better at avoiding sacks if you're not Caleb Williams. And, you know, like I looked the other day. I mean, going into last week, I think the league leader in sacks was Trey Hendrickson with like 11.5. I don't think you're going to see a single player in the NFL pushing 20 sacks this year, right, even getting close. So I think that's kind of like, pressures have become the new sack stat. Like, if you're pressuring the quarterback and forcing throwaways, forcing, you know, dead plays, plays that don't have a chance to get yardage, I think that's where you have to start looking and saying, how are you impacting the game? Because quarterbacks are so athletic now. Teams have gotten so good at getting the quarterback out of the pocket and moving the launch point so that you can throw the ball away even if the play is dead. So I think he's been solid. Has he been perfect? No. The Saints' defensive line has struggled. But I've been happy with what I've seen with Chase. I just don't know if he's done enough to earn that contract I know he's going to be seeking in the offseason. So that's going to be the question. Is the end having to go sign another one-year prove-it deal? Can he do more with the Saints? But he's been a productive piece of this group.
He's on the clowny track, man. It's going to be a whole bunch of ones. Jeff, thank you so much.
Appreciate you, Jeff.
For sure, y'all. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Jeff Nowak. Check him out at Jeff_Nowak, N-O-W-A-K. Sideline reporter for the Saints radio broadcast on WWLA. That's not Los Angeles. That's Louisiana. Nobody go anywhere.
B. Mitch here. Big changes are happening in the DMV. And just like our upgraded football team, now is the time to upgrade the comfort in your home with a Rood HVAC system. I did, and the difference is night and day. My family and I felt the change instantly. And if you don't have a Rood system yet, you're missing out. Plus, there are tax-eligible options for you in the DMV. And if you're in Maryland, you might score some utility rebates. So head over to Rood.com, find a local pro partner, and get ready for winter. And always remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
Bills today announced they added, I believe it's 8 new investors, minority partners, limited partners, whatever the term is. Washington's got a lot.
Eight today?
The Bills added eight today.
Damn.
I don't know the dollar amount, but I could tell you a lot is happening right now. So the Bills.
Are they building a new stadium?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the league also allowed for, I think, a little bit of private equity money to start showing up. But listen to this. Tell me if you know any of these names. This is for Buffalo Bills. I'm sorry. The Bills added 10 limited partners to their ownership group today. Rob Palumbo.
Heard of that name?
I'm not familiar with him. I think they added a private equity company called Arctos. Rob Palumbo, Teresa, I'm going to be honest, I don't know how to say this. Gow? G-O-U-W.
Don't know.
Teresia. It might be Teresia Gow. I hope I'm getting that right. Best intentions. Sue McCollum. Rob Ward. Anything ringing a bell for you? Tom Berger?
Nope.
I know cheeseburgers. Mike Jew?
Nope.
Vince Carter?
That name sounds familiar if that's the real Vince Carter, but
yep. That guy?
All right. I know him.
So, Vince Carter. What about this one? Tracy McGrady?
Yep.
Josie Altidor?
Yeah.
Soccer player.
Jose, right?
No, it's Josie. I'm almost positive it's pronounced. It's J-O-Z-Y.
Okay.
So they had 10 new people, maybe a private equity company, but three of them, you got Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, Josie Altidor. That's cool. And, dude, for the nerds out there that are like, yeah, well, how much money did they put up? I don't care.
Yeah, and they put up more than you did.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's the damn thing.
Okay.
They put up. You look at, like, Miami had Venus Williams.
Speaking of Miami. Dolphins owner Stephen Ross announced the sale of limited interest to Ares Management for continued investment into South Florida. Some investment group has now bought a little piece of the Dolphins. And a team you played for, Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
Breer just tweeted this out. The NFL approved a sale of 8% of the Eagles to two private family investors.
Yeah.
Do you know what is happening now? Now, if you're going to sell pieces of your business, you have to establish a price, a valuation for your business.
Yeah.
Now, the only valuation from these numbers that I've seen, the only number I've seen, is the Philadelphia Eagles valuation.
What's theirs?
You want to guess? Now, the last sale was this organization, Washington, $6.05 billion.
The Eagles are probably right there, a little bit above.
You ready?
Hmm?
You ready for this, Lampfill? I'm reading from Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated, Amazon Football. Per sources, the NFL approved a sale of 8% of the Eagles to two private family investors. Fit was important in the deal. The real news is the valuation of the team, which came in at a staggering $8.3 billion.
Yeah, like I looked at this team, hell, 3-4 months after they had sold, they had already gained $700 million.
Totally.
They're probably well over seven right now.
You got owners that want a little cash, so you sell 4%, you get a little cash.
It allows them to do other stuff.
And now with private equity, the NFL just changed this rule, which honestly kind of hurt. The guys that they changed the rule because the guys that bought Washington made it crystal clear, like, yo, you got to let us put our private equity firms, not just our personal stake up.
Yeah.
Because these dudes all had to put up personal cash instead of company cash. But whatever, all's well that ends well. Now they're letting it in. The money's going to go through the roof, like Lampfill's pockets. Nobody go anywhere. Neil Greenberg next.